everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I appreciate you listening to my request for stories. I received one from a female listener who would like to remain anonymous, and I want to tell you her story. She says, "After a very sad divorce, I lost my way, and it was 10 years before I wanted to return to church. I made an appointment with the bishop of the local congregation. She says, my heart was ready to repent. I was ready to walk a path that would lead me back to the Savior. It was about 2 months into that process when I accepted an opportunity to work one Saturday as a volunteer at a local orange grove. She says, during my Saturday assignment, most of the volunteers were standing on ladders, carefully picking the sun-exposed fruit near the tops of the trees. Those without a ladder stood around the ground picking the fruit within easy reach. The smell and taste of fresh oranges was so delicious and satisfying on a hot summer's day. As I was gathering the oranges, I dropped one and it rolled under the bottom branches of the tree. Not wanting to waste any of the oranges, I knelt down and looked back under the branches. When I bent to look for the fallen orange, I spotted the largest, most beautiful orange hanging intact just under the bottom branches and out of sight. This big orange was not visible unless you got down on your knees and looked under the tree. It was just inches from touching a mud-filled puddle of dirt, bugs, and leaves. My mind quickly wandered to the past year. I, too, had been so close to falling into a dirty, undesirable place in life. I immediately wanted to save this big orange, save it from falling into the mud, save it from being left on the tree and forgotten because no one could find it. Save it because it represented to me how far I had fallen until someone rescued me." She tells a little more of her story, and then she says, "I continue to be so thankful for the one who reached down under the branches where no one could see and saved me. If you think you're alone, you're not. If you think you'll never be loved, you're wrong. If you think God has forgotten you, he hasn't." The day that she sent this email to me, I was having kind of a rough day. And this last line really stuck out to me when she said, "If you think God has forgotten you, he hasn't." Sometimes we feel like we're alone, but we're not. God never forgets us. Once we know and feel that, then we can be a strength to others and lift them up as well. I want to share with you another story where someone was rescued, even when the person who was doing the rescuing didn't really feel all that strong to do so at the time. This is a story that Elder D. Todd Christofferson shared in General Conference, April 2013, and it's called Redemption. Elder Christofferson is one of the members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, and he shares this story about his mother, and he talks about that when her children were young, she underwent a serious operation that nearly took her life. It left her bedridden much of the time for nearly a year. During that time, family and church members helped their family, and one person from church even recommended that they hire someone to help her. They said there was a lady that they went to church with who desperately needed work. He says, "In recounting this story, I will use the fictional name Sarah and Annie for this woman and her daughter. I want to play for you his mother's account as told by Elder Christofferson."
"I can see it as plain as if it were only yesterday. There I lay in bed, and Sister Abraham brought Sarah to the bedroom door. My heart sank. There stood the least attractive person I had ever met. So thin, scraggly, unkempt hair, round shoulder, head bowed looking at the floor. She wore an old house dress, four sizes too big. She wouldn't look up and spoke so softly I couldn't hear her. Hiding behind her was a little girl about 3 years old. What in the world was I to do with this creature? After they left the room, I cried and cried. I needed help, not more problems. Sister Abraham stayed a while with her, and they soon whipped the house into shape and prepared some good meals. And Sister Abraham asked me to try it for a few days, that this girl had had a really hard time and needed help. The next morning when Sarah came, I finally got her to come over by the bed where I could hear her. She asked what I wanted her to do. I told her and then said, but the most important thing is my boys. Spend time with them. Read to them. They are more important than the house. She was a good cook, and she kept the house clean, the washing done, and she was good to the boys. Through the weeks, I learned Sarah's story. Because she was hard of hearing, she didn't do well in school and eventually dropped out. She married young to a dissolute man. Annie was born and became the joy of Sarah's life. One winter night, her husband came home drunk, forced Sarah and Annie into the car in their bedclothes, and then dropped them off by the side of the highway. They never saw him again. Barefoot and freezing, Sarah and Annie walked several miles to her mother's home. Her mother agreed to let them stay in exchange for doing all the housework and cooking and caring for her sister and brother who were in high school. We took Sarah to an ear doctor, and she got a hearing aid. We got her to take adult schooling, and she got her high school diploma. She went to night school and later graduated from college and taught special education. She bought a little home. Annie was married in the temple and had two children. Sarah eventually had some operations on her ears and was finally able to hear well. Years later, she retired and served a mission. Sarah thanked us often and said she learned so much from me, especially when I told her that my sons were more important than the house. She said it taught her to be that way with Annie. Sarah is a very special woman.
That's a great story. There are opportunities every day that we have to rescue someone, to reach out and help them. There are people that we may initially judge, and we may judge them quite harshly. But the truth is, they just might need us and the love that we can give them. We can all look around and find someone who is struggling and see how we can lift them up. I know for me personally, sometimes I get so caught up in my own life that I forget that I need to take time and reach out to others. There's a great quote from President Hinckley, who was the prophet of the church, and he said this in the Ensign, June 1989, in an article to Single Adults, and he said, "The best antidote I know for worry is work. The best medicine for despair is service. The best cure for weariness is the challenge of helping someone who is even more tired." I really liked that quote from President Hinckley. It was a good reminder that even when we're tired or we're exhausted or life maybe isn't going the way that we want it to, we can find someone who is more tired than we are and reach out and serve them. The best and the most perfect example that I can think of is the Savior when he's on the cross reaching out to his mother while he's in intense pain. He's thinking of her and her needs. He sets a great example for all of us to follow as we reach out to those around us. It's time to close, but I thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I want to leave you with is called New Life, featuring Paul Cardall. Thanks again for being with us, and have a great day.